Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's the Philosopher's Stone Podcast. It is December 4th, 2024. Can you believe that shit, Sam? When did we start this? When did we start this podcast?
12 seconds ago, according to the timer.
Someone's being cheeky, hey? Someone's got jokes today.
Yeah.
Realistically, though, when did we start this?
Pre-COVID.
It was pre-COVID, for sure. So it was... It must have been 2018 or something.
Yeah, probably 2018, maybe summer 2018. Not sure.
Man, we could probably figure it out if we go to our Spotify page, but we're also available on all other streaming platforms, I believe. Are we not? Are we only on Spotify? Are we exclusive with Spotify with no deal?
No. That's just the only app I have. So that's the only one I share. But
I wonder. Okay, let me see here.
On all of them. RSS posts all of them.
Right. Yeah. Oh, am I not going to be able to... Can I order them from, like... So there's some flaws in Spotify's capability as far as, like, customizing.
Oh, you want me to look this up right now? I can do that.
I want to see when our first episode aired.
Oh, I can check
year.
That.
From. Okay, do it. Check it.
All right, here we go.
I'm going to say 2017, late 2017.
No, that's wrong.
No? Okay.
I haven't found it yet, but I know that's wrong.
All right, okay. So you're thinking 2018. That's still 6 years. That's quite, you'd think we'd have some sort of fucking listenership.
All right, let's go. Oh, man. Why is everything so hard to look stuff up about your own goddamn show? Jesus Christ.
I'm going to try and crack into our Gmail account.
Okay. This is way harder to figure this out than I thought.
Yeah.
It would be.
Why did you, I don't know why you're so confident you could get
that. I thought there's just like an easy way where you can sort it by seasons.
That's what I was saying. It just,
you can't sort it by, you don't let you sort it by oldest. I'm on the, like the page where we actually like record it and post it.
Oh,
they won't even let me sort by oldest or seasons. To scroll it literally all the way down to the bottom. Okay, September 8th, 2020.
That's when we started, or was that just season two started?
No, that's season one, episode one.
We started during COVID.
According to RSS, yes. Started September 8th, 2020.
Really? That seems about right. That doesn't seem about right to me, but whatever. I'll let it go. We'll let it go. I do remember we podcasted during the 2020 election. So, you know what? Maybe you're
right. That's in November. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. Here we go. Speaking of, are we going to join the United States of America as the 51st state, as Trump suggested today?
I'm going to vote. Do I vote? Is this like, what would I vote on it? Or do I predict?
Well, I think what he'll do first of all, this is how he does stuff, right? He jokes about it. Just joking. JK law. But what if, I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? Nah, we could
his
never
entire
do it,
administration is that. It's like, yeah, whoa,
yeah. So that's what he's doing right now. He's just like, wouldn't that be funny though? Like if we did, we wouldn't, but what if we did, wouldn't that be crazy? And then it's going to be like, well, why don't we see what people think about it. Oh yeah, maybe we'll take a vote, and then it'll be overwhelmingly no, and he'll be like, "Well, I kind of want your water and oil anyway, so welcome to America."
Yeah, I mean, economically, we basically are a 51st state.
I know, but culturally, we are not, which is more important. I mean, we could get there pretty easily. It's not like we're far away culturally, but
I think we're culturally pretty similar.
There's a noticeable difference.
Oh.
They're us times 10 in every degree, I feel like. Like, they're just the extreme. They're too extreme in everything.
Well, okay. Speaking as someone who lived in the United States for...
I also lived there too, bud.
13 years, bud.
2 6 months.
That's cute. That's real cute. I can say they're basically just us. The South is different because we don't have the equivalent of the South. But like, if you go along the border, it's basically the same wherever you are along the border. Like if you go south from Kelowna straight into Washington, you can't tell the difference. If you go south from Vancouver to Seattle, same difference. South from Calgary into whatever the fuck, same difference.
Well, when I lived there, 6 months is not any time. I was 14. I was like a teenager. It's not like I don't remember. I remember there being quite a big difference on the attitudes of people.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe because I was going from Canada to the U.S. and you went from U.S. to Canada. So maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, I don't know. We're both going kind of anecdotally here, but I can say having been driven across Canada, driven across the United States, it's not that different along the border. Okay. North of the border, south of the border, things get different culturally very quickly.
I think that
historical reasons, people are pretty similar along the border. It's historical. It's like a similar movement of people.
I'm saying that if you bring a group of Floridians up here, we're going to probably notice they're not from Canada pretty quickly.
I take your point about the classic Florida man, but like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm agreeing with you. Like if you go really far south, it's going to be very different for cultural reasons.
Mm-hmm. And the South is like half of the states. So
big chunk of Floridians are actually Canadian snowbirds.
Is that right?
Oh yeah. Lots of Canadians go live in Florida, Arizona, California in the wintertime.
So what would you think if Trump just said, nah, yeah, you're part of us now. There's nothing we could do. I mean, it wouldn't even be really worth fighting against.
Oh, like an annexation?
If they really wanted to take over, there's nothing we could do.
No, like you could fight, you'd lose, but you could fight.
Okay, there's something you could attempt, but there's nothing effective you could do. Like no, how long do you think Canada would resist a U.S. full-scale invasion?
No, it would there's a great movie about that called Canadian Bacon. But yeah, we don't win. We don't win a war against the United States, a conventional war.
No, and I'm not even talking, like, it wouldn't even be close. Like, the comparison of, like, say, Russia, Ukraine, like, it would have been as if what Putin really wanted to happen would happen for us. It would be over in days. That's what I think.
Yeah, probably. Not a very fun conflict for Canada.
Now, the comedian in me is kind of like, wouldn't that be fun to suddenly have access to the entire United States comedy wise? You could actually go do that, go down there and make a career out of it potentially. But yeah. Every other part of me is like, no, fuck that.
I don't think it would work in our favor to become America.
Is that your washing machine?
That's my oven. That's my
oven. You don't have any just regular shit's done bells, buzzers on your appliances there?
No, it's a bunch of music supposed to cheer me up or something.
Damn. You know you're in a rough spot when your appliances are in charge of cheering you up.
They're so bad at it, too.
Terrible. Well, you don't think there'd be any upsides to to becoming a state?
Our taxes? Well, I don't know. We'd probably lose universal health care.
That would be the major, major downside.
Our taxes would maybe go down. I'm not sure. We might have to pay like a tribute or something. I feel like if anything, we would just get like more flooded with terrible American tourists, would be my guess.
But then we could go disperse down to any state that suits our liking.
Something true. Kind you of could appealing move, about you that. You can move to the States. That's true.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If we became, then we would have now access to work and live in any of the states, which would be kind of cool. On surface, it sounds cool. I just don't think that everything that comes with that would be worth it.
If your goal in life is to make money, then yes, you would want Canada to become the 51st state because then you pay less taxes and you're part of the American machine, I guess. But I don't know. I feel like each province would be one of the worst performing states in the whole confederation. Like our population is just so low. Like we can't compete really.
They were talking about it on Fox News and they were saying you'd have to split it in half. So one, it would be two states. One would be Democratic. One would be Republican.
Jesus Christ. Is this really what they were saying?
Yeah, they were saying that on Fox
News. You can't just... you can't make a state and call it a democratic state. What the fuck does that even mean?
That's what they said. They want to keep this, these razor thin margins going.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah, well, that's true. They do. Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. They want
so
things.
Like if they had like if they ended up doing, because I think they would have to keep all of the provinces as segregated into separate states. I don't think they would just be like, okay, right down the middle, two states. So obviously you would have more, I feel like you would have more democratic state or states in the new region of Canada than you would Republican, but maybe not. I don't know.
You'd have to have one state minimum per province would have to be one state. I mean, each state, each province, I mean, it's just absurd. Like it's just absurd, but, and I don't know. I don't think it would happen. I don't think it would happen.
I don't think, but I do think that
it would cost the states any time. Too much money,
if there was any administration that would actually attempt this, it would be this one. And you saw Donald Trump posted on his own Twitter, a picture, an AI photo of him standing on a mountain with the big Canada flag, and he says, "Oh, Canada." And then Elon Musk posted a picture of him wearing an "I Love Canada" shirt after this whole thing blew up about him suggesting it become the 51st state. So I legitimately think that he could consider doing it for real.
This is just 2016 all over again. It's the exact same thing. Like it's literally like all he does is he just shows up. Makes all of the allies start fighting each other, and then it's just chaos for 4 years. And
yep,
I mean it's just the same exact thing is going to happen again. Just absolute chaos for 4 years, and people will be sick of him. They'll vote him out, and then 4 years later they'll forget and they'll vote in another fucking moron. I'm so over this shit.
The entertainment, you are not entertained, hey?
No. No, big time not entertained.
Yeah.
Very done with this. But it's not done with us.
I'm done with it as well. I think that stability, as I get older, stability becomes more and more of a priority for me. Just chaos is not, it's a young man's game, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when I was a teenager, the idea of like society collapsing and there being like an all out global war was like almost appealing just because I was 14 and an idiot. But it was like, oh, then I won't have to figure out my life. I'll just know my life is going to be this war. And that'll be, you know, that'll be my destiny. It'll be like a TV show.
That's exactly why people voted for him in 2016, because they thought he would just blow up a bad system and fix it. We just gotta blow it up and then fix it. And it's like, no, he doesn't know how to fix anything. He doesn't have a fixing plan.
It's clear that a majority of Americans want there to be big, big moves. They want someone to make big moves, big changes.
Yeah, honestly, he got basically, now that the votes are tallied, he basically performed exactly the same as he did in 2016, and Kamala Harris lost votes from 2020.
Regardless, half the country wants to see big changes, right? And I can sympathize with that when everything seems to be getting worse, but and nothing is changing. No big moves are being made. Like I could imagine being like at the ends of my patience and be like, I just want someone to really shake shit up. Cause, where I'm at, where I'm living in my life, things are getting worse steadily. And I think I don't want to have to wait 10 years for things to improve. I want shit to change now. And that's what Donald Trump was promising.
Yep.
Well, there we go. Anyways, 51st state. No, there's besides the very brief fantasy of being able to like work in the States as whatever, a comedian or anything else is a fun idea at first, but the reality of that actually happening is actually terrifying.
No, I think the ceiling for success in the States is much, much higher than it is here.
What do you mean by just that?
Like a comedian in the States, they can hit a massive ceiling. You can become a millionaire.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That won't happen in Canada. But that doesn't mean that if you're a Canadian comic and Canada became the 51st state, suddenly your chances of hitting a super high ceiling as a comedian like go up by 100%.
No, but you're
in fact, I would say they might even go down.
No, no, no. Because you could stay in the middle of the
pool.
Road.
You're in a bigger pool.
But you have way, way more comedy clubs to tour and way more people to perform in front of.
True, but you're also competing with way more comics.
Yeah, but I still think there's enough.
And you
to
have
go
no
around.
Network down there.
I think
no
there's,
network,
you're competing
no
against as
you're
far as like actually, but you're a novelty too. As far as actually having enough like places to perform that are real comedy venues in Canada versus the amount of Canadian comedians, I think you probably have more competition here. Maybe not. That might be bullshit, but you still have this pretty stiff competition no matter where you are, just for the amount, sheer amount of people that started comedy over the last 10 years.
Yeah. You could probably get more gigs in the States. That's true.
Mm-hmm. I think if you already have like an act and you have the chops, you could probably start making more money pretty quickly in the States than you can as a comedian in Canada. That would be my guess.
Yeah. I think there is a thing where, in my experience, at least in Canada, you can't really show up in a scene without knowing anybody and then just get right to the top immediately. You have to have like networking and connections. And
no, you got to be around for a while. Like you, yeah, if you do move from a city to a new city as a comic, you start at the bottom of the pool, even if you're good. And it takes years before you probably get up to where you're, you know, kind of top dog again, if you even were.
Yeah, and I think the same thing would be true in the States. If we became a state and you could move down there and work easily, same thing would happen. Is you're just like, you are another drop in a very big bucket and nobody knows who you are. And it could take a very long time to climb out of that. I mean, thinking of like the top scenes, like New York, a lot of these places are infamous for just competition, cutthroat competition.
Yeah, you really got to go all out. I mean, I've been doing comedy for nearly 10 years and I'm still, no one knows who I am still because I never leave Western Canada. Next year, I really want to start pushing out east. And like, I feel like comedy in Canada, at least, is a face-to-face game. You got to go out and meet people. You got to go out and perform for people in real life. Like, hearsay is not going to get you gigs. Because everybody's friend is the funniest guy they've ever seen, right? So it's like you gotta go out and shake hands and meet people, and I have not been doing that. But I feel like I have enough experience and ability to now be able to go out and look someone in the eye and say I also am a comedian, so without feeling an overwhelming sense of what's the word.
Imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have an album. You have a special. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the radio.
They're the same thing, basically. But I mean, the people that I do know in West Coast seem to be have no qualms putting me on their show. So I figure if I want to continue doing comedy through till I'm 40, I want to expand my territory, so to speak. And I feel like I'm ready to start pushing east. As far as getting my name out there, that's my hope. Who knows? When you have a baby that's under 1 year old, it probably might not be that possible. We'll see.
Yeah. 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 Well, there's a whole lot out east. A lot out east. Ottawa, Toronto, Halifax.
But there's a lot of stage time right here, too. So it's like, it really comes down to how much benefit I would get from, you know, leaving my family for weeks at a time to go tour out east. It would have to be, you know, you're not going to make much money, if any, on your first push out there because no one knows who you are. You don't have any negotiating. You don't have anything to, you know, you don't, why would they pay you anything more than the bare minimum if they've never seen you, right? So that first trip out east would just be a complete loss.
Or an investment. That's another way to look at it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It would be about meeting people and like showing them what you can do. And it's like kind of risky. You have one bad set in front of someone who really can get you some time. Then you don't really, and you don't live there, you might not have another chance. You might have to come back again before you can get a good set in front of them. Or who knows? I don't know how it works. All I know, I don't know. Social media has been an absolute fucking shit can for me. But I don't know. Maybe we'll keep posting since that's basically all I can do right now with this newborn. I can't really go out and perform too much anyways. Although I did go do a corporate last weekend, which was, it was so promising. It was so promising. I was like, this is not going to be like other corporates. This is going to be a good corporate, right? It's for the Kokanee Brewery, right? Drinkers. Out in Creston, BC, which is a beautiful town in the, in like a big, like surrounded by huge mountains. It feels like you're in like a natural cathedral situation. Show up and everything's going for me, right? The first, right off the get go, my contact is very good at replying to my emails. I'm not waiting days. She gets back to me right away. Has all the answers I need. We confirm the money's great. I get there. The venue, my hotel is in my hotel. So I get to my room. It's a nice room. All I have to do is walk downstairs to the venue. I go meet with the manager. They say they don't care about any content restrictions. The sound is great. It's a great shaped room. There's 90 people. It's sold out. There's no con. It's like, this is perfect. Like, this is going to be the best corporate ever. And still was dog shit. It was like three tables at the front.
Corporation?
It was the Kokanee Brewery.
Oh, the Kokanee Brewery. Right.
Yeah. Which again is like, you think that these people would be, you know, rowdy drunks, which they kind of were, but it was like the back half of the room. This is the thing. The corporate comedy, especially, they always think it's going to be a great idea to surprise everybody that there's a comedian, but like, you kind of have to prime yourself to be paying attention for an hour to someone you don't know or didn't know. Everybody's there to socialize and drink. They're not there to sit still and quiet for an hour and watch some comedian they've never
that's
heard of.
A bad idea.
Yeah. And not everybody likes comedy. Like, not everybody likes stand-up comedy. And I think it was just what the case where the manager of the brewery was like really enthusiastic about comedy and thought everybody else would be too. And it just was not the case. I mean, it wasn't like a complete nightmare. I've definitely had worse corporates, but it was like, you know, 20% of the room really liking it. And then, you know, 60% of the room completely disengaged or half paying attention. And then the last 20% just kind of mad that I'm there. And then to make it worse, afterwards, the manager wanted me to hang out with everybody. So I was like sitting there having some really awkward drinks with this group of people that I just met that weren't exactly like stoked I was there.
Oh man, that's wild.
But great drive out there. It was nice, right through the Kootenays, great road conditions. And yeah, I don't know, it was worth the money. It just feels gross when you have a bad set and then they pay, because corporates always pay the best, but they're always the worst show. So just it's a weird feeling. Anyways, that was my last weekend.
Hey, they paid. You did your job.
I did my job. I delivered the material as if I was crushing, and that's all I can do. You know, I did my time. I gave it. I didn't phone it in. I delivered it all as if it was like everybody was totally into it, and that's all I can do. Right.
You didn't lose your shit on people and start miming shooting them with a shotgun and stuff like that. You didn't do that.
Actually, the most engaged the audience was the entire set was when I started making fun of one of the wives because they apparently all hate her.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I don't know. These corporates, they probably like it if you start roasting them, maybe.
Yeah. Anyways.
But it's scary. What if you do that and they get offended? That's
well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they just won't hire you again.
Yeah, that's true.
The brewery manager and like the owner of the venue were stoked about it. They were like, we liked it. I don't know why there were so many people talking through the whole time. And I was like, well, I could have told you that was going to happen. But as long as the people that hire you are happy, I think you're good. I remember I did another one with Stuart Jones, I think, at the Match Casino few years ago, and literally everybody hated it except for the owner of the company was losing his shit laughing, and he was like thrilled that we came and like was so happy after the show, even though we on you know the we essentially both ate shit the whole time. But as long as the one guy that pays you is the one that enjoyed it, that's basically all you have to do with these corporates anyways.
Man, when are they going to realize that these aren't good? These aren't a good idea. I don't think they've ever been good, and yet they still keep doing them.
Even the best comedians in the world bomb at corporates mostly. You know who does it good at corporate? Great corporate comics are basically guys that can riff with the audience really well. Those are, you're going to get, like, if you see, like, if you see, yeah, like Patrick Maliha kills it in corporate season because he can riff with everybody and make it personalized. But I still suck at crowd work. So if my material is not landing, I don't have a whole lot of options.
Yeah. Every group of people like that, they like works together, like they know each other. Every group like that has its own sense of humor, kind of.
Yeah.
Like if you don't know what that is, then I mean your jokes are just kind of gonna hit, kind of gonna miss, blah blah blah.
You got it. That's why the skilled comedian can get in there and figure out what's going on in the group, who's, why is this, what's their sense of humor, what's the group dynamic, and then they can work from there. But that's just, I'm just not there yet. I have another corporate next week, so I'm gonna try, maybe if I'm bombing, just force myself to ask a bunch of questions and hopefully conjure up gold. But at the end of the day, it's like, I think it was Dave Chappelle that said, it's like, when you're doing these things, you are like Evel Knievel. You're paid for the attempt, not actually succeeding. So
that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Comedy, you don't, it's not like they don't pay you if you suck. If you do it, that's the deal.
You just won't get hired again.
You won't get hired again. Yeah.
But I think that on the bright side, I've been doing it long enough that I did not feel the pain of bombing like I would usually in that scenario. Partly because I kind of knew this is what corporates are. It's not as painful to bomb at a corporate as it is to bomb in like a bunch of people that are comedy fans came here and paid money.
I don't even know if I would even consider it bombing. Like, I mean, if it's really bombing, like if you're like, yelling at them and stuff, that's bombing. But if it's just like a bad show, that just feels like, it just feels like it's not even stand up at that point. It just feels like you're in a brightly lit room.
I definitely wasn't bombing. I was just, I would say if it was a normal comedy club, I would say I lost half the room, which is, you know, not great, that's for sure. Yeah. But the half that was into it was paying attention and laughing at, you know, 60% of the material.
That's pretty good.
So I had 30% of the room laughing at 60% of the material. That's the metrics I'm going for.
I can't do the math on that, but it sounds good. It sounds
good. Not good. Didn't feel good. But like I said, the money is good. Anyways, enough about that. I don't even know where that came up. But did you have something we wanted to talk about this week?
Oh, man. I don't know.
Going down to the States as a comedian if we become the 21st state. Talking about Donald Trump being a crazy person again.
Yeah, that's what we've been dishing on. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. 21st, 51st state or whatever. I feel like that's
cons,
better.
Pros and cons.
I don't know. Who's it better for, Canada or the U.S.? I feel like that would be better
for the U.S.
Who wins in this situation? It just seems like a shitty situation.
Well, like, it would be the U.S.
Really
would
have 30 million people spread out over this. Like,
someone who's preaching anti-immigration ran on anti-immigration and open borders. He's literally talking about doing the biggest integration of immigrants ever by taking and making Canada the 51st state. Basically erasing that. Well, you're erasing one, your whole northern border you're erasing. So it's like the antithesis to his whole platform.
Yeah. I think it's just like his style is to just basically like shit on everybody so that, because like US is super powerful, so you just like shit on everybody, including your allies. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, makes you feel bigger. I don't get it.
I think
unless you
want to
go down the you can go down the conspiracy hole, which I'm happy to do. And I think like you could say Russia is like basically feeding this guy instructions on how to blow up the United States from within. Like that's right. That's what it looks. That's what it feels like. That's what it looks like. Just like all these like appointments that were just so ridiculous. It's like, this is, it's almost like, someone is just giving them terrible decisions to make. Like Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, these people, their whole modus operandi is to sabotage their own party.
Yeah.
For whose benefit? Honestly, probably billionaires. I mean,
yeah,
it's honestly like all this, like Department of Government Efficiency, all this stuff, eliminating government services. The reason they want to eliminate all these services is not to save anybody money or make anybody's lives better, and so that they can replace them with private industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. They just want to replace government functions with private companies and enrich themselves. They're already doing it. He already named Elon Musk is like not an elected official, and he is like getting so much head time because he's going to have a department that's named after his own crypto meme coin.
Yeah.
Like, how does no one not see the glaring conflict of interest here? But I mean, who gives a shit?
Everybody sees it. It's whether people, it's so frustrating. It's like, he's definitely gotten into the can do no wrong section of people's minds that have voted for him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then Elon is literally acting like the US, like the whole country of the US is his, like, he's turning it into a meme. He's basically
a South African immigrant billionaire and his family want to destroy the United States government.
He is playing around.
His mom is on talk shows talking about it. His fucking mom, right? This is a billionaire immigrant family.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's just, I
think Elon Musk is like, I think he's so disconnected from the reality that he's looking at this entire thing as a one big joke. Like, he's literally looking at everything as if he's been raised on the internet. He's definitely like a 4chan kid who found himself in a position of power and has no sense of anything he does or says has any real consequences to him, which is true. So he'll just do stuff because he thinks it's funny. He's doing it for the lols. He's literally going to dismantle parts of the government.
He's very immature. Yeah, he's very immature. But I mean, this guy, he's not a happy fun and games guy. Like, this is a guy who moved his entire company out of California, Tesla. He moved the entire Tesla company out of California to Texas because COVID restrictions wouldn't allow his workers to go into the factory during like the height of COVID. So he moved the entire business to Texas.
That, what do you mean? That sounds like another tantrum move, like of something
a
very immature person would do, right?
Yeah, yeah. He can be fun in games with his
Dark Maga
Doge stuff and Dark Maga and all that, whatever that means.
Dark Maga.
But he's also, like, he's just, tantrums and self-obsessed, champion of free speech, but lets the dictators censor whatever they want on X or whatever it's called.
Renaming Twitter to X is another example of him just being a 13-year-old billionaire.
He co-founded PayPal with Peter Thiel, and he wanted to name it X and all this other bullshit, and so Peter Thiel got rid of him.
He just is obsessed with naming some big company X.
Yeah, SpaceX.
The jumping when he was doing all the jumps on stage, people didn't realize he was trying to make his body into an X. What did you see? Have you seen this?
Yeah. I mean, it's like
the guy is 13 years old. Anyways,
like, oh, I'm associated with the government. Time to enrich myself by hawking my businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, nothing to see here, folks. Move on.
It's an oligarchy. These people
have your best interests at heart. Yep, crypto is not a utopia. There, it's just going to be more bullshit to enslave people. Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to just make a new email for this podcast because I really miss getting emails. It really made me feel like we were connecting with people out there.
Oh, you can't remember the password.
I've just can't sign you in. You can't recover your account at this time because Google doesn't have enough info to be sure this account is yours. If you want to create a new Google account, service add a recovery phone. Okay, so I got to make a new one. I'm going to make a new one. 2025, you guys are going to be able to email us again, and we'll answer your questions on air. I don't know, man. 51st state. There's something about it that makes me feel like it could be really fun, but at the same time, I don't think it's worth the chaos that would ensue.
Yeah, just like no, I don't think it can work. I don't think you can just make up territory as huge as Canada into one state.
Because isn't that what Manifest Destiny is? That phrase. Manifest Destiny was about getting America to be taking over all of North America.
Yes, it was a religious doctrine that the United States was ordained by God to conquer all this territory.
Maybe he's thinking that's what he wants to do. He's starting off by, he's testing the waters by making little jokes. Making little Facebook posts about of him and AI mountains, the mountain range he chose is in Switzerland too, which is another just layer of surreal.
Wait, what? Switzerland? What?
So he's like the picture he posted to Twitter, what, or X, sorry, Elon, was it Truth? It was probably his Truth. They're direct competitors. I'm just realizing that when it comes to social media.
Truth Central.
He posts a picture of an AI generated image of Trump standing on this mountain range next to a giant Canadian flag, and he's overlooking this mountain range, and then the Matterhorn is in front of him, which is a mountain range in Switzerland. So it's just funny that he posted this picture of him looking over what supposedly is the mountains of Canada, and it's clearly the most distinct mountain in Switzerland.
Oh, the Matterhorn. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. Oh, well. Yep.
Weird times, strange times.
Yeah. Well.
Sorry.
Oh, what was that?
That was a big swig of water.
Big. Nice. We have a lot of water. In fact, Canada supplies most of the electrical power to the Northeast United States.
Yeah, that's what my mom was worried about. She thought Trump was going to invade us for our water, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, if he did that, I mean, they would never admit to that, because then they'd have to admit that, like, global warming is real and all that stuff, which they don't want to admit.
No, don't admit that. They're not going to admit that until literally we are bursting in the flames.
Or it's funny. No,
go ahead.
It's funny you mentioned like who owns water. Like a lot of the water in the United States is actually owned by foreign countries. Like a lot of the water in, I think Arizona is actually owned by Saudi Arabia.
What the fuck? How?
British Columbia sold all of its bottled water rights to Nestle for $1.
Oh my God. It is ridiculous. So they can have, they have unlimited access to our water.
I don't know. They can bottle it. They have that was the rights, the bottling rights or whatever.
Isn't Nestle like a crazy evil company, even by corporation standards?
Oh yeah. Terrible. Terrible.
Just a little chocolate company. It's so funny how these like these big corporations like Disney and Nestle, they all started off so innocent. Just for the kids, man. Here's a little chocolate bar for the kids.
Yeah.
Here's a Mickey Mouse for you, sir. And next thing you know, they own every single thing.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, Nestle, Swiss company, have been caught using slavery many times. Not safe, unsafe products in the third world, that kind of thing. Yeah, just horrible company. But guess what? They're the biggest in the world. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny that this, with this whole tariffs thing, that people are now it's like, okay, well, they're not going to work because it's so much cheap labor out there. Like, of course it's not going to work, you idiot, which is true. But it's also like, where's all the social justice warriors decrying slave labor and sweatshops in other countries? Wouldn't they be like, let's do everything it takes to bring back labor to America so we can have, you know, well-paid and safe working conditions. And that'll pull the rug out of these sweatshops and stuff in China that we were so sad about making our clothes. And now everybody seems to be like, no, these tariffs are bad. So it's like, you can't have it both ways.
Okay, let me explain it, Jordan.
All right,
let me explain.
You go ahead, Professor.
Okay, you want to take a sweatshop, you want to take a Chinese manufacturing, put it in America, and apply American labor standards. Is that your point? Or Canadian labor standards? Good labor standards for the workers.
I'm saying, right? I think that if you are like the same people that decry the sweatshops, here's potentially a way to end the slave labor happening over there. And they're all talking about how it's a bad idea.
Whose fault is that? Is that the fault of the people who are like, we should have better labor rights? Or is that the fault of the American companies who exported all of their work to these countries so it would be cheaper?
Well, the fault falls squarely on the corporations trying to save money.
Yes.
But it's also like, it's also people don't want these, people are saying these tariffs are a bad idea because it's going to raise the prices of products in the States because they're going to have to manufacture, or they either have to pay the tariffs, raise the prices, or bring manufacturing back home, which means they're going to be subject to, you know, labor regulations and good wages, which means prices will go up anyways. But at the end of the day, wouldn't you want the my point is that there was like this kind of bleeding heart thing about sweatshops. And now that there's a actual plan to bring manufacturing back to the country,
there's no plan to bring manufacturing back to the country.
Well, it's disguised like that. Anyway,
there's no plan. That's the claim. Never going to happen. That is never.
I don't think it's going to happen either, but that's the claim. I'm just saying that you would think you would see at least a small number of people being like, hell yeah, this will mean that that slave labor in sweatshops is going to go away or go down.
Well, no one thinks that because it won't happen. Those countries will just sell their products elsewhere.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fine.
I mean, like, yeah, wouldn't it be great if tariffs forced or like somehow made everyone's labor improve? I mean,
isn't that kind of the pitch that is being pitched right here? Is that manufacturing will come back to America?
That's the pitch. Yeah. It's absolute nonsense. Well-paying labor right protected manufacturing jobs will never come back to America because the corporations simply won't pay.
No. Yeah.
They won't pay. And the people who pay the tariffs are not, like, the way the tariffs work is, suppose you put up a 50% tariff on Chinese imports.
Mm-hmm.
China makes the products and gets paid what they would have been paid before.
Yeah.
Then an American company imports it into America and the American company pays the tariff.
Yes.
It's over. It's just dumb.
No, the idea would be that the American company would instead bring labor back to the States to avoid the tariff, but they would end up paying more anyways, because
they'd go out of business if they tried to do that.
Exactly. So it's clear as day that the pitch is not the reality of what is going on here. So what is the real motive behind these tariffs, in your opinion? I've heard theories, but
there's a bunch. Okay. Here's a theory. Theory is that Trump is just dumb. Mm-hmm. Trump is dumb, and he thinks that because we import more from China than we export to them, it means we're getting scammed. So that's what he thinks, and so he thinks
it can't be that simple, because he has to have been educated. That's how he talks.
That's how he talks about it. He talks about trade deficits as if they're like a scam.
Right.
Another possibility, like I said before, conspiracy thinking is Trump wittingly or unwittingly is following an agenda that's supposed to divide, withdraw America from the global stage and destroy the Western alliance of nations.
And to what end?
Opening up the world stage, creating a power vacuum that China and Russia can move into. Mainly China.
Oh, so the conspiracy is, it's full on Trump is a user, a useful idiot or a willing trader.
Yeah.
And his whole job is to collapse the American economy and take it off the world stage.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if I told you that someone, some nefarious entity was pursuing a strategy of divide and conquer towards Western countries, would that sound crazy or would that sound like exactly what's happening?
It sounds like they're doing an excellent job is what it would sound like.
Yeah. Yeah. So I tend to think that somehow wittingly or unwittingly, he's being used to just completely destroy alliances between Europe and America.
I mean, if he's as easily manipulated as he seems, you would have to be a fool to not take advantage of him being president. I mean, even the Matt Gaetz thing, apparently he got the appoint. He got tapped by Trump to be attorney general because he shared a flight with him and just buttered him up that whole flight. And that's all it took.
It doesn't sound that crazy, honestly.
No. the other conspiracy I heard is this is a concerted effort by Elon and Trump to basically plummet the U.S. into another Great Depression. And then they are the ones that rebuild the economy in their designs and with their... Basically, they want to rebuild the America from the ground up in their image, essentially.
Yeah, Elon wants like cyberpunk future where corporations are far, far more powerful than the government, legally, militarily, everything. That's what he wants, I think.
He does. He wants the cyberpunk. He wants to live in... It's the cyberpunk 2077 or whatever that video game was. That's what he wants. He's going to start wearing glowing pop collars any day now.
There's a huge part of that game is about cybernetic implants into people and how they're abused by corporations, specifically abused by them. And what is one of the main things he's working on? Neuralink. He's working on Neuralink. He's literally working... The party that is so afraid of vaccines and Bill Gates putting a chip into your body is fucking sucking the fucking South African dong of this this guy who is literally trying to put a chip in their brain.
Yeah. This clearly autistic 13-year-old billionaire is driving this country like a Cybertruck right into the goddamn wall. I saw a Cybertruck for the first time in real life, and
I saw one too. There's at least one in Kelowna.
Yeah, and it is a head turner, but not in a good way. I don't think. I think it looks like it belongs in a movie, not in real life. It's out of place.
It looks like a bad prototype of like a sci-fi car from a movie, but it also literally looks like someone made it in their shop in their backyard.
Yeah, it looks homemade.
It does not look professional.
It looks like a side-scrolling racing game you would play in Flash Player. That's the type of vehicle you would see.
It does remind me a lot of the Warthog from Halo.
Yeah, like a very early draft of the Warthog where they're just they're just blocking in shapes. They didn't add any detail yet. And it's huge. It's massive.
They're really big.
Far bigger than any other car that was around it. Like I said earlier, it's the new Hummer. It's going to be the new Hummer. It's going to be douchebags taking up a huge amount of the road and imagining everyone is looking over and thinking, wow, that guy's really cool. But you're just taking up space, you fuck.
That's a great point because the Hummer famously, is infamous not just because it's huge, but also infamous because it was a terrible vehicle. You couldn't get parts to replace it. It was just horrible to deal with this thing. And I don't think they make them anymore. I think they're totally discontinued. It might even be illegal.
And it's one of those vehicles where you can really make assumptions about the driver.
Yeah. Oh my God. If you're buying a Cybertruck now, you are an Elon dong sucker. That's why you bought that, because you love Elon's dong. You did not buy that because you like electric vehicles. You bought it because you wanted to pay for a little bit of his lube next time.
Much like the Hummer, you bought it for what you think it makes people perceive you as. Like, you bought it as a statement vehicle. It's not, you're not buying it for any of its perks or whatever. Yeah, there's probably some cool technology, but there's cool technology in all sorts of vehicles nowadays.
yeah, it's insane like how much tech is in an average modern vehicle. Mm-hmm. Just preposterous.
It is weird that it's like we are suddenly having the aesthetic of the future designed by goddamn Elon Musk. I still find it hilarious that he tried to pass off that big robot, the iRobot convention, where they were like serving drinks and everything and like being bartender. He was trying to pass it off like the people, like that was actual AI that they were acting with, when it was clearly other people on microphones talking as the robots.
Yeah. Well, he's a lot of promises. That's for sure. Lots of promises.
That's what him and Trump have in common. They love making promises. Love making promises.
It's good. It works for them because people are like, whoa, the billionaire just promised something. And Wow. Okay. I believe it.
If he's that rich, that means he's that capable. They like, they equate financial success, despite already being born a filthy rich, as like you're a genius. Like this whole idea that Elon Musk is actually the one designing this shit in his basement, like we all thought at the when he first burst onto the scene with Tesla, we're all like, oh man, this guy came up with all this on his own. It's like, no, he did not. Same with SpaceX. Mm-hmm. Like he might be the one, he might be a big picture guy. I can admit that. He might be a guy that's like, I would like it to be caught by chopsticks. And then the engineers just have to make it happen.
I would be shocked if that was even one person's idea. That's probably an old rocketry idea, is to catch it with chopsticks or something.
Oh yeah. I don't think he's coming up with anything on his own. I think he's got the money and the power to make these things a reality when most people don't.
He came up with calling everything X on his own. That's for sure. And I think the Cybertruck is also a pet project gone wrong as well.
Well, I will say the Tesla cars are pretty cool. I cannot get behind the Cybertruck aesthetic. I think it's so dumb. I think what he's done with SpaceX is pretty cool. I just think that it would be even better if it was someone else running that company.
I think someone else could probably do it. Starlink, look at Starlink, right? Amazing.
Yeah.
But who benefits from Starlink? It's so fucking expensive.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've heard that even in Canada now, if you're a long-haul truck driver, that's where they get their internet from, is Starlink.
Do they pay for it themselves? It's a ton of money.
Yeah, I would assume so. How much money is it? I don't know anything about it. I haven't even seen the satellites. I want to see them fly over.
Okay. Starting plans from Starlink. USD basic residential is $140 a month USD.
I mean, that's like 200 Canadian, probably something like that.
Let me convert.
That's honestly not that much more than I'm paying right now with TELUS, which is a massive ripoff.
Yeah, that's $200, but that's just internet. That's $200 for internet.
Well, that's all I need.
No, it doesn't give you a phone or anything.
Plan. Do you have a landline?
No, but don't you have a phone provider?
My internet bill and my cell phone bill are separate, and they're both way too much.
Yeah, Starlink would just make your internet bill $200. It wouldn't do anything about your phone bill.
Well, my internet bill is like $150 right now, and it's shit internet, so...
Jesus.
Yeah, it's garbage. Anyways, trying to figure out that, trying to get that number down, way down.
Okay, yeah. What's your address? What's your address?
We're going to get you Starlink. I don't have any listeners, but I'm not going to get started. I'm not going to put out my address on the internet.
Wow. Okay, I know your address. Starlink found your address in its little search window. Let's Google it. Or let's search it.
Are you checking how much it would cost me?
Oh, sorry. Okay. $140 per month. Sorry, it's like 200 Canadian per month.
Uh-huh.
$500 for the hardware. And then some supposedly optional accessories like a pivot mount, wall mount, pipe adapter, which would run you about $275, probably $300 after tax.
yeah, I can't afford this.
But if you can do 140 a month, if that's normal, then you just have to put down the $500 and install it and everything.
And then I'm at the mercy of Elon Musk, which we all will be anyways. He'll be President Musk by the time.
I mean,
I think he'll be president by before this term is up. That's my prediction.
What? 2020. He legally cannot. They'd have to do a constitutional amendment.
When has legally not been able to do shit stop
Trump? Because the one thing that they would have to have a conversation about for like maybe half an hour somehow would be like, okay, it clearly says you have to be born here to be president. That's pretty clear. But
Obama.
I mean, well, that was the whole birth certificate thing, right?
Yeah.
That's why they were so obsessed about it. So it would actually, you know what? I think you're right. It would totally make sense for him to be like, Elon should be president. We'll change the law for him.
Yeah. And he'll talk about Obama. And then he'll also bring up the fact that governors don't have to be born here.
Yeah.
And he'll just be like, what's the, it doesn't matter what the laws are now. They are just going to change them to suit whatever they want.
That's the thing is his followers don't believe in anything except what he says.
Yeah, I know. So you're not going to have enough pushback. Look, all the laws and all the shit Trump's done already, he hasn't seen any fucking repercussions. What's to stop him from just being like, well, I'm about to die, or I'm about to upload my consciousness into a fucking hyperlink or whatever. Okay, here's what's going to happen. They're going to download their consciousnesses onto Neuralink, and they're going to uplink Neuralink to Starlink, right? And then you know those drone swarms they're doing in China? They're going to have satellite swarms, okay? Thousands of satellites, and it's going to be those satellite systems are going to have the Elon Trump hybrid consciousness controlling them, and you're just going to see them all arranged looking like stars in the sky. It's just going to be X everywhere in the sky, and Elon and Trump's visages made out of stars every night. You'd have to, and they will give us commands and orders from space like gods. That's what their plan is.
Kind of like an Eye of Sauron kind of thing.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That sounds
and we'll all be forced to listen to YMCA for 3 hours every evening as we give tribute.
Oh man.
And then and only then will the aliens come. That's my 2027 prediction. Mark my words. I really do think that either A, they're going to have a huge falling out, or Elon will be basically the emperor of the United States. That's what I think.
He's so rich. Trump has to
capitulate to him.
Yeah. He's the world. Yeah.
So that's what I think is happening right now, is we're about to see the first emperor, whether it's title or not, of the United States. And he will assure he'll let elections go on. But the end of the day, he's going
to
make
vote
sure.
According to whether your state is a Republican state or a Democrat state.
Yeah.
You have to vote accordingly.
And what do you know? It's going to be 51% for Republicans from here until the end of time. So, they have to keep the illusion that it's close so that people still think their votes matter.
Yeah, that's the good thing about it, is that they do seem to be able to make sure the elections are down to the razor thin edge every single time.
Anyways, I can't imagine that 2030 is going to be it does feel like something big is going to happen this decade. Like something that is like on the scale of COVID, but way more of a permanent change in society. That it feels like that. I just got that feeling, but I've had that feeling for a long time. You know, they always chucking World War III at us, or Y2K, or whatever. So who knows?
Well, something crazy we talked about a bit last week. We sort of mentioned it, but the ongoing drone incursions over U.S. military bases have not only not stopped, but they've increased, and they've also started happening in New Jersey apparently as well.
You gotta watch John Oliver talk about the UFOs on his latest segment. It's hilarious. I forgot how funny that guy is.
I know, you saw that one. I read the Cliff Notes, but like I've read so much on this topic, I know exactly what his spiel is going to be. But
Oh, we got a mind reader here.
I know the spiel. I know the spiel.
Okay, what? I probably asked this to you last podcast, so sorry for the we've been repeating a lot of the same subjects lately, and I apologize for that. But you can write us an email maybe in the near future and complain about this type of thing later. Hand gun to your head, hand on the Bible, whatever you want to say. Same thing. Do you think these drones are extraterrestrial?
It's not that simple, and I'll explain why it's not that simple.
It's not a yes or no. They're either aliens or not.
The way you frame the question, I can't answer it. I need to explain like what's up with your question first.
Okay, this is a very political answer.
This is going to be a good answer.
Okay.
Okay. So today there was an emergency all Senate briefing on this drone situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going on.
Yes.
But when you say, what are these drones, quote unquote? Okay. So the reports from the bases are that there are multiple sizes, shapes, configurations.
Mm-hmm.
It's also known for a fact that at least some of these drones have been traced to Chinese operators.
Okay.
Like Chinese foreigners in the States doing espionage. They've been caught.
Yeah.
That was maybe one incident of that was detected. And mm-hmm. That incident was separate from the sort of ongoing incursions over bases in the UK, for example, where there's swarms of drones and these bases have nuclear weapons on them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them at least was a Chinese drone. At least one we can say was a Chinese drone.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite possible that more of them are Chinese drones. It could even be the case that the majority are Chinese drones. And that could be totally true.
Yeah.
But just because some of them are
Chinese drones. What I would say is most likely the case.
Okay. So then you have to ask a couple questions about that.
Okay.
Before we get to that, I would just say, okay, so it's probably likely that there's always drone activity going on over bases. There's a ton going on right now. And it appears like it's just happening and there's no solution. We don't really know if that's the case or not. But drone incursions or unidentified flying object incursions over military bases is quite common and goes back decades and decades to the 70s, the 60s, even the 50s. And those cases are very anomalous and cannot be attributed to Chinese drones. So that's why when you ask, like, what are these drones over the bases? What are they?
I didn't ask.
Well, there's tons of different. It could be a mix. Some of them could be Chinese.
I want you to know that gun to your head is blown off by now. It is completely splattered across the wall, wherever we were. And I asked you, are these aliens or not? And that's the answer you gave me. Your head's gone. Or your hand is on
it's
the
like,
fire.
It's like asking me, are all these ducks like from Canada? And I can't say like some of them are and some of them aren't.
Do you think any of
How
these
drones...
How is
that not a good answer?
Because it was a yes or no answer.
The question is wrong. The question is yes or no. These drones? Okay, gun to my head. I can't answer it yes or no because some is a possible answer.
Let me rephrase the question then.
Please.
Do you think any of these drones are aliens?
Yes, I would think so.
Okay, there you go. You just saved your head from being blown up.
You saved yourself from asking a bad question.
I'm going to re-listen to this, and I'm going to listen to exactly how I phrased the question, because if I said, are these drones extraterrestrial in nature?
That's what you said.
Any of these drones extraterrestrial in nature? I think it's you dodging the real meat of the question, and the intent of the question was obvious.
What's the intent of the question?
Do you think these are aliens?
But these refers to all of them. So I can't say
any of these.
Okay, totally different question.
Okay, I think my intentions were.
I think probably some are non-human technology. Yes.
Okay.
I think there's too many highly credible reports of totally anomalous stuff happening over bases. If even the anomalous cases are not NHI, then I have no explanation.
Well, that's the gun to the head thing. Is you have to
you have to make a choice whether you're 100% sold or not. That's the gun of the head aspect to the gun of the head question.
I'm like, the only reason that I say that, like, probably most of them are Chinese drones is because the behavior, I mean, it's hard to tell what's going on. The behavior is incredibly ballsy, flying tons and tons of drones over bases, restricted military airspace where there's nuclear
weapons.
People
are getting ballsy out there on the global stage. I don't know if you've noticed that, but people are making moves.
Has another country ever done that before in recorded history?
What, flown drones over military,
like,
bases?
To this extent?
No, but I think that's because the technology is rather new. I think if they could have, they would have.
Yeah, over nuclear bases, publicly?
I think they would have. If they had this drone swarm technology earlier, I think they would have done it earlier.
Point to a similar example. Of blatantly intruding on another country's nuclear base.
Well, didn't they send kind of weather balloons over?
You were the spy balloon?
Yeah.
They didn't want that to be found.
I know, but that's still ballsy, right?
It's ballsy. Every country in the world has satellites that can take a picture of a license plate.
Yeah.
Okay. Why would you go and fly drones over a nuclear base?
Show of power, show of you not being afraid of them.
Okay. So the show of power means that the US literally can't stop these things. It is a show of power.
Yes.
Okay. If that is China, would you prefer that China is 50 years ahead of the United States in military tech, or would you prefer it to be a UFO?
I think I would prefer it to be human than something completely unknown to us that we have no idea what motivates it, what even it wants. Does it even look at us as human? I'd rather deal with the devil we know than the devil we don't. I think it's foolish to assume that any extraterrestrial is going to have anything other than nefarious intentions.
At least the Chinese are tied to us economically. That's a good point. Well, for now. It sounds like we're in a trade war, but it could very well be a foreign nation. Then the question is just, is it a show of force, or is the US just ignoring it because they don't want to be provoked?
I think it's a little bit of, look what we can do. And then the US is don't flinch. Like, don't show them that this is bothering us.
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly something where it's kind of, like I said, there was a emergency Senate meeting about it today in the US.
They can't ignore it when it's this brazen.
They've been ignoring it. Well, that's the thing. This has been happening for years.
But now it's to the point where it's become news.
It's going viral. They can't.
Yeah, they can't stop the virality of it.
But it's been happening for years. That's the thing.
To answer your question, I'm more afraid of aliens than I am of the Chinese government.
I don't know. Chinese government's pretty bad. They literally compromised Canadian elected officials.
Okay, but we can safely assume that the Chinese as a people are not all evil, right? They don't all look, they look at us. We look at the average Chinese citizen as a human being, and they look at us as a human being.
They look at us as dirty, lazy foreigners. That's how they look at us.
Well, at least
I live there. I'm telling you.
I know, but you don't know that an alien species would even look at us as more than just an anthill.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they look at us. I would like the nice thinking about it, because some of these anomalous cases, right? Like, man, we're going overtime here.
We are. This is the longest podcast we've ever done. Okay, let's wrap
up. I'll make this final argument. Final point. So one of the most famous incursions, right, over a military base was the Malmstrom Air Force Base in the US, which is a nuclear weapons base. Mm-hmm. There have been these weird anomalous incursions as recently as 2015. You can look that one up, the Pantex nuclear site. But anyway, Malmstrom Air Force Base, what was so alarming about this encounter was, among a lot of things were alarming about it, but the nuclear weapon systems in the base were armed and then disarmed.
That's remotely. Scary.
that's according to this report, was one of the events that happened when the like the bright object showed up over the base. Mm-hmm. Their systems are activated, deactivated. So,
right.
So it's like, and not, all of these bases in the UK that are getting the activity are bases where recently nuclear weapons were brought to the bases because there was recently a new treaty where now the US previously wasn't allowed to put its nuclear weapons in England, in the UK, but that has now changed and now they are moving them there. And that is...
Well, all I can say is if there are aliens, I hope that they are all essentially preparing to stop us from killing each other. That's from wiping each other off. Because that, to me, would be the only reason they're here. If they have the ability to fly through space, we don't have any resources they can't find anywhere else, you know.
Yeah, except our own DNA. But
they would either have to have some level of compassion towards us as a species and want to stop us from blowing each other up, or they're just morbid curiosity. But the timing of them suddenly making themselves known and in en masse would have to be because we're about to do something really fucking stupid, and they're either here to watch or they're here to stop us. Or they're here to make sure it happens.
Yeah, either one, right? I would hope they're here to preserve the Earth's biosphere, but worst case scenario is it's a rogue private military contractor that has made a huge breakthrough in technology and is showing everyone who the real boss of the world is now.
I think there is likely some technology that is not under the banner of any government that is being made by independents that is very good. And that we don't understand because they're probably not using conventional designs. Anyways, that's our podcast. Anyways. That's the longest podcast we've ever done. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Maybe we'll see. My life is chaotic right now. Okay. Bye.
Live long and prosper.